Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Amanita Minute. I'm your host, Margaret. This podcast illustrates the huge undertaking that mothers take on to raise children, and in many cases, they lean on their village. Deciding who's part of your village is a big decision and can be intimidating for first-time parents. Today, I'm bringing on a mom who is a teacher, childcare director, and children's book writer, among many things. She has a master's in childhood education, an entrepreneurial spirit, and her own four-year-old, with another on the way. Whether you're returning to work, looking to switch providers, or just need an extra set of hands to take care of your little one, I hope she will answer some questions or give you an idea of what to consider when deciding on childcare. Yobi, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you please give us a quick introduction?
Hi, Margaret. It's so nice to be finally speaking with you now. Hi, everyone listening. My name is Yobi. I'm a New Yorker, raised in the Lower East Side, New York City. I was a preschool teacher who turned into a preschool owner, entrepreneur, and a published children's book now author. I have a publishing business now where I write children's books that features Asian children, families, and culture. And I'm super excited to be here to talk to you about all things becoming a mom, childcare, and multicultural books.
Awesome. And I'm so glad that you mentioned the book. I know it's not the publishing component. I know that's not like the focus of today, but I found that I had to scour the internet for any books on like Chinese New Year and the Harvest Moon Festival, just as an example. And I remember, I mean, I'm in Westchester, as some of our listeners know, really being conscious about diversity for my son, even in childcare, even though he's three. And I actually took it upon myself to buy a set of books, like maybe seven or eight books, to bring to school and say, hey, for the month of February, these are some books related to Chinese New Year or Lunar New Year. You know, feel free to share with the other children. And I feel like, you know, that was the first time I actually stepped out and did something like that. And it naturally came to me to do it because I noticed they were not addressing Lunar New Year in their calendar. So side note, but thank you so much for mentioning that part.
I think it's awesome that you're doing it. And I think more moms and more dads and more people in our community are starting to do that, to have conversations about our little ones in their schools, to talk about representation and how important it is. And that's why I'm fully supportive of all schools, preschools, elementary schools, junior high schools, to talk about conversations around diversity and equal representation in children's literature.
Mm-hmm. So you seem to have a lot of hats. What was the catalyst for you to expand and evolve these skill sets throughout your career?
I think I naturally just wanted to, was just super interested in childcare, child development, the difference between raising a child at home and sending them to school. I know a lot of people in my community in the Lower East Side where their grandparents raised them because the parents are always working. And a huge part of the people that I serve in my community in Lower East Side in Chinatown did not speak the language. So when it came time for their children to go to school at 4 years old or 5 years old for kindergarten, they were really, really struggling in school. Now they're being labeled as speech delayed. They need special needs. They need to be evaluated. But little did they know, it's just because they didn't have the early childhood experience at 2 years old, at 3 years old, to help them slowly get used to school. So now these 5 years old are coming in really struggling. So that's when I really decided to focus on early childhood education. I went to school for my master's degree in early childhood education. I created programs around serving children who really needed to understand what it means to go to a preschool and how the parents can understand that they're not just playing with blocks the whole day or Legos the whole day. They're actually, there's a lot going on. So I spent about a decade of my life doing that right out of college. But and then, you know, it transpired to more. I went into reading books because I have to teach them about the importance of reading. And then it kind of went on and on and on. A lot of opportunities keep coming up. I meet a lot of great people and parents ask a lot of wonderful questions. And it just sparked more interest and it just kept on going.
Mm-hmm. That's inspiring and sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, you're probably just learning, you just continue to learn, right? And you just continue to build on that whole ecosystem of preparing children and getting them ready for school and then getting them situated and comfortable and feeling like they can succeed in that environment. So it resonates with me what you said about grandparents taking care of children, because I also had the luxury of my mother helping with my youngest because she retired. So she stayed with him for 6 to 7 months. She was here after I went back on maternity leave, and she took care of him day in, day out. But ultimately, we decided he needed more. So what you're saying, it resonates with me. But before we dive into child care centers, I'd love to hear a little bit of your perspective on the difference between a child care center or daycare versus nanny, because in both situations, you still have a new person coming in, but who's not like a parent or a family member. And maybe some nannies are, or au pairs, which is pretty popular up here, actually. Some of them actually have some education or around child care.
Right, right, right. This has been a topic and a battle for so many families. Do I use a nanny? Do I use an au pair? Do I use a family? Do I send them to school or a child care center where other children are? And I see this quite a bit. I even see families with a nanny taking care of a little one and then sending their older one to school. It just kind of depends on your family dynamic, and it depends on what's more important to the parent, because nannies can be very expensive too, and preschools can be very expensive too. It just depends on your financial background, what you can afford, what's more important. I personally would always choose to send my child to a child care center. And it's actually harder for me to send them to a child care center or a preschool center, even a daycare. I just want the child to be near other children of their age. I think learning to kind of maneuver their space, their community with one adult, it's very different than learning to get along with 8 or 10 or 5 of other children their age that looks like them, that reacts like them. And they have to learn the socialization there. There are just things that they learn in daycare that they will not learn with the nanny, because the nanny may give in to them. You want this? Okay, let me get it for you. They're a caregiver. Your child will learn to be secure. They'll learn to be what it means to be loved, the dynamic between an adult and him or her. But I think going to a school setting puts them at an environment where they have to learn so many more things and many opportunities to do so. They have to learn to line up because there's only one toilet or two toilets. And that's kind of wait until someone's finished. They have to learn if they get into a conflict with other children, how can they resolve it? Because things don't always work out to be your way. And I think these are the valuable lessons that I would prefer that helps me decide to send them to a childcare center.
I noticed that my younger one is a lot less patient, probably because he had more time at home before he got sent to daycare than my older one. What are some things you look for when you're deciphering which child care provider to go with?
When I go to schools, I view things in a very different eye than, I guess, as a normal, typical parent.
Yeah.
I really focus on the teacher, like who will be my child working with. Do I trust this adult? Do I like this adult? Do I think my child will be safe and thrive with this adult? I care less about how big the school is, how fancy the toys are. There are chairs that are $100 for one single chair. I've worked in schools where they say that these chairs are $100 and we got them from Germany or Europe. And then there are places where chairs are $20 from Amazon, right? I look less at things like that, but I really focus on who the staff are, who the director is, what's the culture of the school. If they claim to be a Montessori or a Reggio-inspired school, are the teachers trained in that aspect? Do they provide professional development? Because when it comes down to it, the adults that are taking care of our children is key. And then I look at the next thing is the other children in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Are they diverse enough? Are they a popular population or community that I feel like I can become friends with, my kids can become friends with? This is a community where they can learn from each other. Am I comfortable in this community? Because we are creating a community for our little one.
Mm-hmm.
I say when you go start a new job, you're going to have to learn about your coworkers, and if you can get along with them, if you like them, the kid is doing the same thing in a classroom of 18 kids or 15 children. So those are more important to me.
What kind of attributes are you looking for in the child care provider? Like, say you like them, they seem nice, and they have all the qualifications of, like, you know, CPR certified, blah, blah, blah. What are some other things, I guess, more soft skills that you might look for?
I think if they seem happy at the job. I've seen so many people who are just not happy in the job anymore because they have such long hours. It's a really difficult job. A lot of them are underappreciated. They don't get paid as much. The benefit's not as great as public school teachers. But I want to see if they are warm, if they're happy, and if they kind of really want to be there. I think those are the three things. Everything else we can probably figure out towards later on if we're going to have conflict. And you will have conflict. Every single parent will eventually have a conflict with the school, the staff, or the director. Even if they voice it or they decide not to voice it, there will be conflict. I've been in this industry for so long that, you know, a parent makes a complaint and the other parents are like, oh, I thought of that too. Oh, I wanted to say something. So, you know, but people just don't say it, or because one person brought it up, the other feels when they're like, oh, I noticed that. So there will be conflict. It's just how this director is transparent, how open they are to communication.
Yeah. I'll admit I'm like that parent too. Actually, I probably over complain, but I don't know because I always complain in private. I don't do a reply all or anything like that. I always complain like one-on-one.
We appreciate that, Margaret, as a preschool owner and director. We appreciate that you don't reply all, but you do bring the situation to the staff or the director or management's knowledge. We want to know. And that's the type of leadership role that you want your director to be in. They want to know. But we definitely don't want you to reply all and stir up the pot for everyone else.
You know? Yeah. I just always wonder if I'm overdoing it, you know, and I really try not to be too much of a pest because I'm nervous that it will reflect poorly on my son's experience there. You know, if they just know, oh, that's the boy of the mom who, like, you know, keeps the, like, you know, I get nervous that that will happen. So I don't know if you have any advice for that. Like, how would you, if something is really bothering you and if you've said something before and it seems to still be happening, how would you address that?
I think this is a really common situation that comes up in parents, right? And it doesn't matter what background you are. As a mom, you will be afraid that someone would not be as nice to your child because of you. But as a mama bear, you want to make sure you communicate for your child. And if something's not right, you want to voice it. And I don't think you have to worry too much about it because you're also modeling for your children that when something's not right, you have a voice, you have to use it. Mm-hmm. And if a teacher isn't taking it or a staff isn't taking you seriously, then you can say it again. And if they're taking it out on your child, which I don't think they will, I trust the early childhood educators that to be more professional than that, and especially if you're paying a high tuition to be there, I expect that they have ways of handling tough parents like you and not reflect on the child and be very professional to their children. But if they are, then they do not deserve to be there and they should get a new job and someone else can take that position. So I will highly encourage every single parent who's listening to this podcast, who have been in this situation before, to cough up the courage and write an email nicely. You don't have to be aggressive, but you do need to make it well known that you are aware of what's going on in school. Your child will tell you things and you're there to help the teacher and see how you can help the school improve. Mm-hmm. Your child's watching and learning about things like this too.
Right. So speaking of tuition, it's pretty steep for me, but I also, you know, I've only been paying it for like 2 years. So I'm curious how you've been in the industry for a while. Have you seen the prices go up? You know, what do you think is a factor in that, if it is going up?
Prices have been going up dramatically. I think the entire industry has been shifting. People are expecting more in early childhood. Mm-hmm. People are now, they want more enrichment classes. We want yoga. We want music. We want taekwondo. We want you to do, they want you to do Spanish. And then some programs want you to do Mandarin too.
Yeah.
So costs are going up. Rent is going up. Everything's going up. Inflation. And we want
the owners want to make a little bit more money, right? For the amount of stress, because now the parents are tougher. The parents will write emails and they will create more drama and demand for more. So they need to make a bigger profit in order to balance it off, this business that they're in. But I see that this is an industry that's have been improving a lot. The staff development process, the education behind the training for the staff for early childhood has gone up. The quality of the programs have gone up. And parents now are willing to pay slightly more. So if a school is charging $1,000 and another school is charging $1,300, most parents might actually go to the $1,300 program because they're willing to pay $200 or $300 more for quote unquote better program that they see for the price difference, right? I think parents these days are much more willing to spend the money on their child's young education training.
Yeah. I feel like I sometimes go a little overboard. Like I'll buy all these classes on the side. Like they're like $35 to $50 a pop. And I'm like, I don't even know if he liked it or cared.
Or he would just be running around and like never really soak it in. And if you do one or two classes, it probably didn't mean anything unless you keep doing it for a year.
Yeah.
Right. But modern moms, we are modern moms. And that's just what modern moms typically do, especially the ones that can afford to do that. But it's getting harder because we have less family support these days. We rely slightly less on the grandparents for education. We rely the grandparents on like a play date or 2 or 3 hours of babysitting. So it's just become a trend where modern moms and modern dads are willing to, here, I can't handle you for 4 hours this weekend. Go to this class. So these classes have become popular in a way like justifies it's mental health for us, you know?
Yes. So as a parent, what is something you want to know about your child's care provider?
I want to know how long they've been in business. I want to know what's their philosophy and vision. Mm-hmm. So I always kind of read the mission statement. I want to know how the team gets along. You can't expect a group of women to get along and love each other.
That is a really good one though, because I don't think that was on my list when I went out and did my search, but that chemistry between the teachers is super important. And I didn't have it on my list, but when I started seeing different ones, I noticed a big difference.
Yes. So some of these teachers can work together for 5 or 6 years, and some of these teachers can't even stand each other for a week. It's in there from 8 to 3 or 8 to 6, whatever the time is, and it's very stressful. It can be very stressful.
I mean, even think about us with our partners.
Right.
Taking care of your own child that is your blood and how much you fight with them, right? Imagine you're taking care of someone else's child with this person you did not decide to have a child with, and you're trying to take care of this one.
Yeah, so it's hard to see, but you kind of have to pay attention to see how they speak about each other or how they speak about the teacher in the other room and things like that. It's just small things that you pay attention to, but that's important to me. I want to see how the chemistry between leadership and staff with staff.
So now I'm going to do a quick fire of questions and you say yay or nay. You can give reasoning or not, but you could also just say yay or nay.
Okay.
So cameras.
Yay.
Apps, like little app that you could download.
Nay.
Events with parents, like parties.
Yes. Yay.
It's not too much to plan.
Yay, yay, yay. It's important. It's a lot to plan, but it's so important.
Okay. Field trips.
Yay.
Parents chipping in for holiday events.
Nay.
No? Oh, why?
Well, if I'm charging you an arm and a leg, yes, right? Like you already pay for these.
Yeah.
They can afford to pay $10 per kid, right? They can afford to, the schools, and my schools can afford to pay $200 or $300. I mean, the bus is the most expensive part. But if parents are paying for 10 months out of a year, and you're making over $10,000 or $20,000. Most schools are between $10,000 to $15,000 from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. $10,000 to $15,000 a year for childcare services. They can afford to take $1,000 off that month for a future for a child and Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's not all the time. You're not doing futures every single week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. allowing the school to use your child's photo in marketing?
I'm split here. I would say because they won't do it so much. They don't like to use the same kid all the time anyway. So if they're using the child's picture one or two times in a year, I can handle that.
Okay. But they should ask for permission.
Oh, absolutely. They can get sued without asking for permission.
Mm, okay. Getting on a texting basis with the child care providers.
No, we cannot be texting these people. We're not friends, right? We're professional. So there's an app, there's emails, there's phone calls.
So along the side with that, gifts for child care providers.
Yes, but only certain holidays like Teacher Appreciation Month. It's usually a coffee, $5 or $10 from Starbucks or flowers, and then holiday, $25 cards or something. I've worked in a private preschool where they charge, a private independent school where they charge $40,000 a year. And now I think it's $50,000 a year for 3 years to go to school. And they say the best thing that they've done actually is parents are not allowed to give any gifts. So the teachers are like, oh man, I work for $50,000 a year of tuition school. These parents are the top 1%, but I can't receive gifts because if I receive gifts, I can get $1,000 to $2,000 a month for Christmas bonus. That's nice. But the school made a policy to say no one is allowed to gift and no teacher is allowed to receive. And I think that really put the burden off the parents and that put the expectations off the teachers. So there's no favoritism. There's no like, she gave me 200, but hey, that parent gave me 5. So it's just unnecessary. I think that the school, I like what public schools do. They chip in for like what the classroom needs, $20 per person, $10 per person. I think that gets sensitive. So I think it has to be controlled.
Mm-hmm. Using child care providers as babysitters on weekends.
Absolutely not. No. No, I can't do it. We can't stop it. I mean, I've run so many different schools and eventually a parent asked, can I? And I said, no, I'm really not comfortable. But parents will still figure out a way to do it. And we ask them to sign a liability form. Something happens to this teacher or something happens to this child during their commute from home to school or from school to home. We're not held liable. It just gets really complicated. Mm-hmm. I think parents are just desperate because they can't find good help.
Yes. And children start to build a great bond with them and they have preference and they know that the child will be happy with this person.
Yes. But I think long-term wise, I don't want this child to be confused that that's my teacher and she's also walking me home and she's eating snack at my house. And I see my mom paying her in $20 or $40 yeah. or $50 for the night. I don't want the child to see that kind of sight. I prefer that they see the teacher as a teacher. Maybe that's the old school in me, but I think it gets complicated. I don't want my child to see that I pay her teacher.
Okay. Any last advice you'd like to give parents embarking on this decision?
To go to preschool, I think it's very hard for some parents, but we have to trust that the child can work things out on their own. I think it can be harder on the parent than it can be for the child embarking this journey. Looking for schools, finding it, and once you find it, trust your decision that you've done all your research and you picked what fits your financial needs the best, your commuting needs the best. You make the decision for your child and your child will figure out how to survive in that environment and thrive. Don't blame yourself so much if things don't go well in the preschool. Everyone's going to get sick. Someone's going to get bitten. Someone's going to get scratched. You know, things are going to happen.
The wild, wild west over there.
Yes. But they have to kind of learn it. I mean, when they go to the adult world, it's the same. Someone's going to complain about you, you know? They have to kind of go through it.
Thank you so much for being on the show today and giving us all this insight into this decision. I wish I had some of this wisdom 3 years ago when I embarked on these choices, and I hope the parents listening today found this helpful in their journey. If you have any additional factors that you found especially important in choosing a child care provider, please let us know on our Facebook group, Ama & Co, or on our Instagram by commenting on the post for this episode. Thanks for joining and see you next time.